everybody. Welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We're here to talk about Flickr, which is the name of the episode of Hotel that we're watching today. This episode, wow, man, I didn't give a shit about any of this. It is outrageous. You'd think we're getting like kind of the meat and potatoes of the episode. We need to make some stuff happen. Bad news, idiot. We're taking a side quest trip into nothing, into garbage. We're doing garbage for an episode. So buckle up, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm joined as always by... Yeah, no, go ahead, yeah.
I was going to say, I hope you guys are ready for the, the titular American Horror Story special of dropping three new characters in the middle of the season. Three... never before seen characters, of which one will be gone by the end of the episode. We'll, I guess, get there eventually.
And of which one will be played by someone who already played a different character in the same season, which this might be a little confusing. Who can say?
This was like, I did a double take. Like, wait, no. Is that from another season? Because they do that trick sometimes where they're like, hey, we want to bring in a character from a different season, but it's unfortunately played by the same actor. Fuck it, you know? But this is just like, the hell with it. We're just recasting this person twice for two new roles. I don't know why, but we did that.
Like, that's something you can do for, like, background actors, you know? Someone can just mysteriously be in the background of every cool club in the city. That's fine. But, like, this is, like, speaking lines.
That's like shit you would do in, like, The Room or something. You know what I mean? Like, we got to save money somehow. You know what I mean? Like, what? It's like, you didn't. Yeah.
Making a film for, like, an elementary school project, you know? Or, like, right. High school, that kind of thing. Yeah. Wow. Well, they don't. Hey, let's get into it. This episode is, there were so many things I expected, and none of them were this. And I think we should just roll right into it. They're already starting reconstruction on the hotel, because if you forgot from a few episodes ago, Will Drake bought the Hotel Cortez and is going to have it be fully reconstructed, and they're pulling out one of the floors of the hotel so that he can make more clothes for Paris. Yeah, this was really confusing to me.
Yeah.
He used a bunch of fancy pants words that I don't know. So I assume what he's saying is that he wants to clear out the floor, like completely level it at like all, from a room perspective, and just make it one big open concept. And then he's going to set up like his studio there, his like where he's gonna make clothes, I guess. That's the only explanation for why they'd be tearing down the walls. That's literally the only explanation for why they'd be tearing down the walls. And that's what they're doing, is tearing down the walls. But also there's like a strange conversation where Will Drake is walking with his 12-year-old son, 12 to 13, like the oldest kid we've seen, I think. And he's like, okay, well, I went to Paris, and that made me want to make clothes again. By the way, I'm going to marry Lady Gaga. And Lachlan, his son, is like, aren't you gay? And he's like, don't worry about it. And yeah. Lachlan's like, okay.
I thought you liked men. And he's like, haha, adults are complicated. And yeah, he's just like, yeah, all right, man. Whatever, dad.
What a 12-year-old response, too. Just like, all right, whatever. Do we have any pizza rolls?
Yeah,
he's it's unclear why the only answer is Lady Gaga's a vampire and they want us to believe she has vampire like mind powers, but like there's not a reason why Will Drake would be like, we've got to marry Lady Gaga. Like, she has done nothing to earn that title whatsoever. Like, to be like, I love this woman so much I'm willing to stop being gay. Like,
you know, yeah. And, you know, there's like a thing too, when you're like that rich, allegedly too, like your business partners don't let you get married without prenups and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just like that kind of thing. It's like, yeah, I'll get married and give half my fortune. Like, people who you're in cahoots with are like, nah. Like, you, because our stuff is tied up in this too. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah. But, yeah. Nevertheless, somehow that's still happening, you know.
because she's so good at whatever it is that she does. Also, like, I don't know. I was thinking about it while I was watching this episode, because there will be more woman-on-woman kissing, which is good. I'm not disparaging that later. But I was thinking about it because that had me thinking. And I was like, Will Drake's character doesn't have to be gay. Him being gay has, like, nothing to do with this at all and doesn't serve any, like, plot points. It almost seems like they, like, from a compulsory point of view, were like, well, we can't have the fashion designer character be a straight man. That doesn't make any sense. Because the other option. Yeah, there wouldn't be a straight fashion designer. There's never been one of those.
It's American Horror Story, but even we have limits, you know.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. But, like, the alternative now that they've presented is that, like, Lady Gaga, like, swayed him into not being gay anymore, which it just doesn't, like, I don't know, it doesn't sit right with me. I don't like that kind of a story of, like, ah, you just haven't met the right person of opposite gender. You're not actually gay. I don't like that implication. And one of many, many strangely handled LGBTQIA scenarios from two show writers who I believe are both gay themselves, which is strange that they keep doing this, like, handling these situations so poorly. I don't know how they keep doing it. He likes woman, I guess. He likes Lady Gaga enough that he doesn't care that he likes men. Is kind of, because that's the thing, is we're maybe not, like, selling it very well, but, like, the whole kind of vibe around the scenario is him being like, oh no, I am still gay, but Lady Gaga doesn't count, and I like her enough that it doesn't matter. Like, that's the vibe they're putting out there. It's not just like, oh, turns out I'm bisexual, because that would be, like, the most reasonable thing. Yeah.
He had forgotten about bisexuals. That's really what it is. He forgot about bisexuality. I forgot about bisexuals and that they exist. Oh no.
I think the show writers forgot about bisexuals, like, which is crazy because later Lady Gaga's gonna be hella bisexual, but, like,
yeah,
I think they forgot it when they were writing this character, and they're like, there's no way a man who likes men would ever want to kiss a lady on the mouth. They think that's gross. And I'm like, that's such a weird, weird thing to put into your show, people who are also gay and writing the show. But yeah, so that's the takeaways that Lady Gaga's marrying Will. Again, the part about him being gay, he literally just could have never brought that up. That could have never been brought up, and literally nothing about the show would change. It's never a conflict. It's never a problem. There's just a little bit of awkwardness occasionally when Lady Gaga's like, I'm gonna touch your penis. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I like that. And then she's like, wait, actually I do. That's the only conflict around him being gay. So, like, there's really not a reason for him to be gay other than that, because even that as a conflict is immediately fixed by him being like, actually I think I like it. And then that's over. That's the conflict of it. But, like, many things in the show could be completely removed from the story entirely and would make literally no difference to the rest of the story. But I guess we're supposed to think that that's, like, a success from Lady Gaga, that she was able to convince the gay guy to marry her.
So all of this is just to lead into Will Drake talking about the plans to knock down the walls. And a foreman comes over and goes, hey, boss, we were digging through the walls, but there's a big old steel plate. You're going to want to see this. And comes over, and sure enough, there's, like, a, I guess, multiple inch thick steel enclosure in the middle of this building that has, like, no problems with weight, and no one has ever gone inside and no one has ever looked into.
Checks out.
And and so Will Drake's just like, yeah, you know what? Cut into it. Who gives a shit? Crack that nut. Get in there. We got to figure out what's in there. Well, that's where all the best crab meat is, right? Is inside the crab. So let's crack that crab open, baby. Get me in there.
The hotel knuckle, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so he walks away. He's like, okay, you do it. I'm leaving. Good luck. And they go, eh? All right. One of them, even though this says, he's like, I don't know if this is such a good idea to knock down a wall in a building. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, if it's like thick steel, you might want to make sure that shit's not load bearing. You know, like that seems like a concern. But he doesn't mean that. He means, what if there's like some like 1920s flapper zombies in there, which is a crazy thing to be worried about. And yet, and yet. So they cut into the steel wall, the big cage. And sure enough, there are two very old school zombies, one dressed in just a suit and a lady dressed like some kind of flapper kind of thing. And they aren't ghosts. They're like really shriveled, kind of old looking. It's unclear and unlike any beast we've seen in this show. Like it reads purely as zombie and nothing else to me, at least. So it's very weird when we find out what they are. So in this hotel, we have had vampires and ghosts, and I guess now zombies, which we'll get more into the zombies soon. They're important. And they just jump on top of the workers and eat them instantly. And this work site, these people need a union. Because, like, someone should be reporting that, hey, boss, two of our guys got fucking eaten. That's no good.
And then they got left on the floor.
That's going to be some paperwork, for sure. Yeah.
OSHA hates this. OSHA hates this one simple trick of getting eaten by zombies on the work site. They hate it. Also, like, to describe kind of what was behind the wall, it wasn't just like, two zombies waiting to jump out and bite you. It's like a hidden level of the hotel, where it's just like a fake floor of the hotel that's been sectioned off with like other rooms, but like six out of the seven rooms, the doors just lead to brick, and then one of them is a real room, and then there's like a hallway. And what's weird is like the guy who's like, oh no, we're getting eaten by zombies. He's like, oh, it smells like death down here, which when we find out later what these things are, that doesn't make any fucking sense. But they were like in a like a little fake enclosure. Like they were put on in a little fake hotel is what
they were wall of they were cask of amontillado'd. They were like bricked up in there. And I don't mean like they had a hard on.
They might have been.
Yeah.
Right, yeah,
but like
it could be both.
I mean they specifically like bricked up the wall. Like they did build a wall out of bricks they couldn't get through. I don't mean
Bricked up.
Yeah, doesn't come up a lot that there's two meanings for bricked up, but I mean the not modern one. they built a wall out of bricks.
And that's the opening sequence, which, like, we've been talking about it for a minute, but it's really, like, one of the fastest opening sequences this show, I think, has had. It's, like, 30 seconds total.
They usually have a lot of problems this season, like, getting to the point. You know, like yeah. It's been like, all right, we're going to have an opening. Here's a little side note. And you're like, all right, that's enough. But yeah, here at least it's like, here's your scare, moving on. You know,
they're like, we got zombies in the walls. Move on to the next scene, which is probably good because they're going to fuck around so much this episode that it is truly baffling, which I know what you're thinking, like, oh, I wonder what plot points are going to get resolved. None, zero, spoiler alert. The actual plot of this television show is not going to move forward in any capacity. In fact, it is going to, in my opinion, take a few steps back on one of the particular plot lines and start us at a new point with new characters, and then for a secondary plot point is going to branch off into who the fuck knows where this is going now. So we make no forward progress whatsoever.
Do you remember in Cult when like they introduced Valerie Salinas and Scum and it's just like a history lesson more or less? It's like that kind of, except a little more interesting when it was Valerie Salinas and Scum. This is a little not so interesting, I found, but whatever, you know.
This really feels like there wasn't an episode and then I tried to make up an episode, but I didn't know anything about the season. I was just given like a skeleton.
This is like, yeah, this is like you had to make an episode of American Horror Story at gunpoint and like decide like, all right, it needs this element, this thing. And you're like, this person from like the 1920s needs to be in it. Yes. Like, all right. So,
and it's got to be played by a guy who's already been in the show. Yes.
Yeah. You must recast Finn Wittrock. But anyhow,
he's too hot to not keep having on the TV screen. That's why people tune in. Yeah. So then it hard cuts to the John portion of this episode, which I regret to inform you is this like 2 minute sequence and then another 2 minute sequence at the end of the episode. And then we will not hear from John for the rest of the episode. But the good news is John is getting therapy, citation needed. Finally, it starts. The thing is, there's going to be a lot of flashbacks this episode, and the juxtaposition between John being at the hospital, just the regular ass hospital, and it being bright and like fluorescent and super close up to his bright ass blue eyeballs. And then like the old timey filter that will be on the rest of the episode is so jarring. Please get him brown contacts. I'm begging you. And they keep doing these weird tight shots of his face. But he's at, like, a regular hospital getting a psych eval. Because I guess he's admitting himself to it, which, without going into, like, too many detail, I have a fair bit of experience with that specific scenario, both me and people I know. And everything that's going to happen to John from after the point he gets evaluated onward is not how it works. All wrong.
Yeah, it's like all incorrect front to back. Yeah. Basically all wrong. It's pretty incredible.
What they have had John do is essentially check himself into a new hotel, but this hotel has the word hospital written on the front of it.
And this one, they actually don't let you leave.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Except you totally can, because it's a regular hospital that you checked yourself into.
Right.
And they like don't have power over, like, you didn't get arrested, which when we see what he did, it's maybe it would be more sensible if he did actually get arrested and that's why he was maybe, here. But alas,
maybe it's like Old Boy where it's like just like a bunch of people you can pay, like, keep me here for a year, don't let me leave. Okay, you know.
Yeah. But hopefully based on the end of this episode, not the same ending as Old Boy,
right? Ooh.
So, yeah, he's doing a psych eval, and, like, they're asking him, like, normal psych eval questions, and he's like, yeah, I'm a sad boy who's real stressed. And then Alex is with him at the waiting room of this hospital, ? And she's like, are you sure you want to get checked in here? This place is kind of a shithole. And he's like, no, this is perfect. This is exactly where I want to be. Which seems weird, because it is weird. And the answer for why he's there is dumb.
It's very obvious foreshadowing that he wants to be here and that he has picked this specific hospital for a reason, TM. They will then spend the rest of the episode acting like we weren't supposed to have figured that out from the most obvious discussion in the world of, hey, there's got to be a reason you want to be here other than just, you know, no reason because this place sucks and I have access to better ones. And he goes, yes, I do have a reason for being here. He doesn't say that, but he functionally says that. And then they dance around it for 40 minutes, which is insane.
Yeah, he's like, I belong here. And I'm like, the shitty hospital is like the takeaway we're supposed to take away is be like, oh, because he's shitty. I get it. Like, is that supposed to be like the big reveal? And then they have him like talk to like, I don't know, like the head of medicine at the hospital. He's in like a fancy office with a guy who's clearly not somebody who works on the floor. And he's like, all right, why do you want to be checked into this hospital? And then he's like, oh, I'm real stressed about this serial killer I've been trying to catch. And then I got put on administrative leave, but I kept going back to the station to keep trying to do my job without getting paid. And then I got mad at my best friend, Andy, and I punched him. And then he punched me back. And then that's why I'm here now. And I'm like, well.
He also does that, like, really cliche, annoying, like, and I hurt the only person who was trying to help me, you know, thing.
Yeah,
which I'm like, oh, shut the
Andy.
Fuck up. Yeah.
My best and only friend, Andy.
We've never talked about Andy. Like, knock it off, John. Like, that's, you know, but whatever.
Also, I strongly doubt Andy reciprocates that feeling. He's like his partner, his, like, detective partner. I doubt Andy's like my best friend, John, down at the station. Ugh, yeah, right. So he kept going into work when he wasn't supposed to be at work, why would they even let him in? They do not let people who are on leave back on the premises for, like, safety reasons, but he was in there, and he was
especially in, like, a little murder cult, like the police, you know? Like, they definitely don't want, like, the police are pretty famous for not just letting anyone back there, In general, like, they usually have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah. And so obviously they don't like it. And he's like, you gotta go. And then John is like, you gotta tell me who's in custody. You gotta tell me who's in custody, Andy. And then they, like, get in a fight. And then that's why John is self-admitting.
They have decided that, and they try and do this through a really quick, they just, like, have a flashback of him being like, I gotta figure out who the killer is. It's the most important thing to me is who this serial killer is, which, like, it makes no sense because he's been dealing with so many other things lately.
Right? Yeah.
It's really weird for him to just be like, actually, that is all I care about. Like, you got sucked off by a ghost, man. Like,
I was going to say, you got sent to a serial killer dinner and Eileen Wuornos almost killed you. Like, he's really, truly got a lot. Your kid is missing. And also now your other daughter, you fired a gun near. And now she hates you. Like, there's a lot going. Your wife just left you, Jonathan. Like, there's a lot going on.
Your wife left you and recommended relapse. You know what I mean? Like, how much worse does that get?
I gotta figure out this serial killer shit. It's the most important.
The thing is, too, like, he doesn't necessarily, they haven't painted him as, like, obsessed with the serial killer, per se. He's just supposed to be really good at his job, which he isn't. So, you know what I mean? Like, now they're like, oh, I can't stop thinking about this. It's on my mind constantly. Like, since fucking when?
Yeah, but also, they have his reasoning be like, oh, no, he's killed before and he's gonna kill again. And it's like, oh, you mean, like, the serial killer dinner where you watch them, like, bring out a guy and kill him in front of you? Like, that one?
No, we don't care about that guy. That's not the right serial killer guy. I don't give a shit about that guy. That's not my problem. That's not my purpose. No one cares about him.
They gave me absinthe. That's like the crime version of calling base, you know? You're up to whatever.
And, like, I think this might be what you were referring to, Ty, of, like, yeah, he would just get sent here, probably, if he assaulted another officer and had a meltdown.
If he assaulted a coworker, especially when, like, firearms were present and shit, it wouldn't be good. They wouldn't like that.
But no, he's self-admitting himself to a hospital, which, like, when they're doing his psych eval, they're like, hey, you want to kill yourself? And he's like, no. And then he, like, does all the rest of the test fine. So I'm like, they will. If you like, ask them, they will, like, let you administer yourself, even if you aren't, like, answering any of those questions in a what would be considered to be an alarming way. But essentially, from what, like, it's not even a spoiler because it's whatever. Like, later we'll just see him walking around the hospital, like, for funsies. And I'm like, why did you even bother checking yourself in? What he ends up doing, he could have just done by just walking into the hospital.
And took someone. Yeah. Also, during the fight with Andy scene, they show, like, a file getting knocked down and he sees the name of the health center, like, on the document. So, again, they have now just straight up said, like, that's why he went to the hospital. They'll continue acting like this is, like, a big surprise later on, which is insane.
Yeah, like, the ruse they were trying, because I always try to think of it from the perspective of, like, oh, what do they want us, the audience, to think? Because this is clearly supposed to be a plot twist in their eyes. So what do they want to have, quote-unquote, pulled over on us? And, like, the only thing that comes up for this is they want us to think that John is getting therapy. But gotcha, idiots. John would never get therapy. He's actually doing a big gambit. This is one big gambit. Strange payoff. Regrettably,
he's so good.
He's such a good detective, Liz.
He's so good. He's such a good detective.
It's Jason Bourne.
Eat shit, Sherlock Holmes, you loser.
Yeah, he's the best of us. We have to say goodbye to Jonathan for pretty much the rest of the episode. It's time for Lady Gaga and a bunch of people we have never met before. But before that, we have Lady Gaga and Iris. So it's now back at the hotel. Lady Gaga arrives on the floor that is being demoed, and Iris is like, oh, you gotta come see this. And I'm like, how does Iris know about this? Better question, how does Iris know about this next part where Lady Gaga's like, hey, does Will Drake know about what's going on this level where two people got eaten? And Iris is like, no, he's getting his butthole bleached and waxed. And then Iris talks about getting your butthole bleached and waxed for like 30 seconds. Why does Iris know that that's what he's doing? Did he like loudly announce it as he was leaving to like the whole lobby?
He must have, right? He didn't tweet it or something, you know? Like, maybe, I mean, like, Iris knows about that shit. Like, you know, it's like,
My butthole waxed, I say as I walk out the door.
What time's your shift end, Iris? All right, good, because I'm getting my butthole bleached and waxed in a minute, so I just want to know you're still here. All right.
Yeah.
But I didn't, yep. Bleached and waxed, Iris. Let me tell you exactly what that is.
Cannot emphasize enough, Iris. Bleached and waxed, both of those things. And Iris is like, we can bleach our buttholes? That's not a joke. Iris says that.
I'm not convinced she would know, like, the terms. So, like, yeah, he would have to explain, like, all right, so here's what's happening, you know?
Like, listen, Iris, you gotta get your butthole bleached. Everyone's doing it. And then Kathy Bates says the words. They make Kathy Bates say the words, I couldn't pick my own butthole out of a lineup. And I'm like, the check can't be that good, Kathy. It can't be.
Can I, you know, and not to be like, but like, who could?
Right?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Right?
That'd be like a weird thing, I think.
I've seen my own butthole a lot, let me tell you.
Like, it's weird to get the lineup in the first place, but be like, oh, that's mine. Like, I wouldn't be able to. I have to be honest. Like, I don't even think people, like, in sex work would know. Like, you need mirrors and, like, lots of video, like, you know?
Yeah. And you need to interact with it a lot, or you need to be, like, Encyclopedia Brown, which I guess would be, like, that'd be a good subname for a porn star to remember their own butthole.
You need to be, like, the fight gamer equivalent of a sex worker where you're watching your tapes back to see, like, what you did wrong and everything. And it'd be, like, and then you see the lineup, you're like, oh, that's my asshole. Like, how do you know? Oh, I watch my own stuff constantly, you know? Like, how do you get better?
I specifically,
you know? What do you drill?
Specifically focus on the butthole scenes. Like, I'm mostly looking at hole. I gotta
that's,
be honest.
That's where everyone gets me. I have a show coming up. I gotta get ready, you know? Like,
and like, if it was knowing other people's buttholes in a lineup, I feel like that's even like more like I could see how that could happen, you know?
Yeah,
as
right.
As opposed to like your own.
Iris makes a very valid and concerned point of not being able to pick her own butthole out of a lineup. And you know what? If she wants to stress out about that, she can. She is stressed. To be clear, she is stressed when delivering this line. But that is all for nothing. All of that was for nothing because it means nothing. And Iris is like, yeah, so down this makeshift hallway that we just cut down, here's the two dead bodies that are full of blood. That's crazy. Two dead bodies that the zombies bit. And then Lady Gaga's like, well, what did that, Iris? And Iris is like, I don't know. And then she's like, holy shit, I've never seen you scared before. I know you guys are probably thinking, and I know you probably have been thinking nonstop since episode one. You know who I miss? Marcy, the racist real estate agent character. Great news for literally no reason whatsoever. She is checking into the hotel right now and settling into her room.
Wasn't she earlier in the season? Because she's like selling the hotel now, even though that's not what you do.
Mm-hmm. Episode one, she is there.
Yeah, that's
and
right. Okay.
Complaining
right,
about
yeah.
her dog dying, which she is doing in this scene also on
Good.
The phone. And
Good.
Her presence serves literally no purpose except for that she gets a knock on the door, and when she opens it, immediately gets clowned by the zombies. That's it. Marcy's dead. Hopefully. God damn it. God damn it. I'm just now realizing that means Marcy's going to be a ghost. Son of a bitch.
Yep.
God
yep.
damn it.
She died here. She's going to show up again and it's going to be
Piss.
Fucking annoying. And she's
Piss.
Probably going to say some racist shit. Yep.
Oh, I just realized that. God damn it. We were so close.
Yeah. Can't get away from anything in this fucking show.
I was like, thank God we're finally done with Marcy's character. But I'm just literally now having the epiphany that we are not, in fact, probably done with Marcy's character. Son of a
How
bitch.
How annoying. Can't even stay dead around here. Fucking hate it.
But that's not the worst part. Everybody put on your flashback vests. The rest of this is a flashback. There will be, and I'm not joking, by the time this sequence is over, which it's most of the episode, it's like 30 minutes, there will be a flashback inside of a flashback, and then there will be a flashback inside of that flashback. There will be a flashback inside of a flashback inside of a flashback, and I guarantee you, if I were to offer you $1 billion with no context to guess what the flashback inside of the flashback inside of the flashback is going to be, there is a 0% chance you would guess correctly. And I know that that's not how probability works, but I feel that confident about it. It's 1925, everybody. Some dude who you may clock if you're watching along immediately is being like, holy shit, that's Tristan. In 1925, what the heck? It's not. It's a guy named Rudolfo Valentino. It's a different guy.
It's a different guy.
It's a real guy. Rudolph Valentino is a silent film actor. He was like pretty famous like in the 20s, as is another his compatriot who we'll meet later, but like they are again doing the whole like, "Hey, why don't we screw with real people again? Why not?" You know?
Why not? And I just want to say, this whole flashback is set in 1925, and this is specifically for the people who are also watching along and also noticed this, because I think it's only important to me, but it is insanely distracting once you notice it, is for the rest
no,
of this.
No, you're right.
Lady Gaga, it has, like, thinly penciled in eyebrows, which was common at the time. That's not my issue here. It's that, they fucking didn't do a goddamn thing about one of her bleach blonde eyebrows, so she has three eyebrows for this entire fucking sequence. The whole 30 minutes, she has two penciled in brown eyebrows, and under one of them is the most distracting, noticeable, bleach blonde, fluffy eyebrow just directly beneath it. It is the most distracting thing in the world.
It often goes over the penciled eyebrow, which is incredibly distracting. I think if they had both of them be the same, it wouldn't have bugged me as much.
Yeah.
But having one that is fucked up and one that is not fucked up is like, well, you clearly didn't mean to do this. Like, yeah, you clearly just fucked this up.
It's the fact that there's three of them that's really the problem. The fact that there's three eyebrows instead of four is really, really the problem. And also, I think in the beginning of this episode, she does not have that problem. Because in case you're not watching along, the Countess, Lady Gaga, her character just has bleach blonde eyebrows. She just has those eyebrows. I have a theory that they filmed this whole episode in one day, or at least the latter half of it, because at the end of the episode, we will see Lady Gaga in present time wearing the same outfit as she was at the beginning of this episode before the flashback, but she has the fucked up eyebrows. So I think they just shot it all in one day, because she does not have the fucked up eyebrows prior to the flashback. She has them in the flashback, and then she has them in the present day after the flashback. So this, I think it's all one day.
This is season 5 of, like, what, 12, I think, so far? Like, the show wasn't doing awful where they had to, like, save a buck every now and again. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand why they did all this, but
I don't either. It's just so distracting. The three eyebrows is so fucking distracting. And it will be there for the whole episode. So just assume if she's on the screen, there's one blinding golden eyebrow that is just throwing off all of Lady Gaga's face just for the whole thing, which unfortunately a lot of this flashback is Lady Gaga's face centric, but right now it's centric on Rudy. They'll call him Rudy, who is being fanned and between shots of a movie, and she's kind of like gossiping with her little friend. She's an extra on the movie set, and her friend's an extra, I guess, on the movie set, and they're like kind of, you know, having a little back and forth. And they're like, "Ooh, he's so hot, but oh, he could never go for me. Oh, didn't you hear he was getting divorced from his wife? Ooh, that's crazy." And then she gets handed a note from him where he's like, "Come to my house tonight." And she's like, "Hell yeah." She gets there, at his mansion, and he starts speaking Italian, and she understands it, and then he's like, holy shit, you speak Italian, and I'm like, why would you speak Italian to someone if you didn't think they spoke Italian? like, fucked up. Kind of fucked up, Rudy, not gonna lie. And then she says, oh, yeah, my dad was Italian. He was a plumber. And I'm like, is your dad Super Mario from Super Mario Brothers? What a weird thing for you to say right now in the middle of this episode.
I wouldn't put it past American Horror Story, honestly. Right? But, like, it's not, fortunately for us. But
they're like,
know.
We know only one Italian guy, and his name is Super Mario. And then, or maybe it was an ad lib because Lady Gaga's Italian, so maybe it was an ad lib. And then he's like, you should be more than an actress. Being an actress is dumb and shitty. And she's like, ah, I think flickers are the future. And I'm like, oh, there's the episode title. Cool. That will have nothing to do with literally
it does. It's
anything.
So annoying.
So they have they have her start doing this weird affectation, which is a thing that like she didn't do before now, and I guess now they're like, this is part of her character. She's like, I want to live forever, and like being in a movie, I think, is the closest you can get to just living forever. And he's like, wow, that's very interesting that you think that. Well, anyway, I'll meet you later. Which is like,
I feel like I'm drinking blood in a way when I'm doing pictures. It's odd.
I want to live forever and drink blood, you know, like be in a movie?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not being in a movie is a stake through my heart. I'm just throwing that out there for no reason. So anyway, bye-bye.
It feels like I'm just yearning to have an incurable disease, and the disease is my love for the screen, the silver screen.
You know, it's funny. I'm very Italian, and yet I hate garlic. What's up with that?
Rudy's like, holy shit, me too. We have so much in common. And then he's like, I'm dog shit at talking. By the way, in case we like kind of just glazed over it, this is fucking Finn Wittrock, who does not look again any different than Tristan. It is the same man. It is just Tristan in the 1920s, which if this was not a season about fucking vampires, would probably not be a problem. But now it has immediately called into question, is the plot
There's
twist
a lot
that
of immortals.
Yeah, is Tristan Rudolfo Valentino? Is that what the like?
He's not.
I'll save you the trouble. To be clear, he's not. They just screwed up and had two guys played by the same guy, and they didn't like, you know, give one of them a funny mustache or like a cool anime haircut or something to clearly differentiate.
And they also are both what? Lady Gaga's boyfriend. Like that's the other thing, is they're both the same character.
Also, Lady Gaga is like pretty into Tristan when he shows up. Like she's like, yeah, I could be down for this. But even when she's talking to Tristan, she's like, no, the first guy I fell in love with was like way hotter than you. Like way hotter. Which is crazy because he's the same man.
And does not look any different than he did in 1925. They are the same person.
He's the same man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even like give him contacts or like make his hair a different color. They're just like, no, this is just Tristan if he brushed his hair and like wore old timey clothes.
Why don't you have Finn Wittrock play Rudolph Valentino and then just have some guy play Tristan? Because Tristan doesn't seem like an important character, although frankly neither does Rudolph Valentino. So, like,
he's dead. Tristan's dead. Yeah. Like that's the level of not important to the story he is. Well, yeah, why wasn't Tristan just like, hey, remember that funny guy who like showed up in the guy who was like, no pussy? Like that guy? They should have just had him be Tristan. That would have been great if they just had the guy who was like, oh, I'll do a threesome, but only if it's three dudes. Like, that guy would have been great.
No bajanya, only pee-pee. So, anyway, back to Valentino. He's like, I'm dog shit at talking. Let's just dance. Dancing is what I'm better at. And they start dancing to a record player. They do something fucking insane with the editing in this sequence of them just like slow dancing in his living room, where like every time they do, you know how like in ballroom dancing you like do step, 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 and then you go to the side. Every time they go to the side, it cuts from sepia filter, black and white filter, low saturation filter, black and white filter, sepia filter again. And it's not like to the beat, and it's not like on cool parts of the scene, and it's not poignant, and it doesn't mean anything. And it fucking sucks, is what I'm saying. Yeah. This sequence fucking sucks. It's the kind of thing that you would do, like, say you have a plot line going in a show where two characters are doing something very similar. For example, I watched one of the Mission Impossibles last night, and, like, there's, like, two versions of the same scenario playing out, but, like, one with real people and one with actors, and it keeps cutting back and forth every time there's a cut in conversation because it's interesting, and those two things are directly correlated to one another.
It's showing how they're connecting. Yeah, it's showing how two disparate events are directly relating to one another through creative editing. Yeah.
But that's not happening here. It's just the scene of them dancing in the living room, and they keep, like, shuffling through the scroll wheel of the filters they have on hand, and it's fucking crazy. It's just crazy. It's a crazy decision. It's weird, and it sucks. It made me hate watching the show more than I already do. But then their dancing is interrupted by Valentino's wife, Natasha, who shows up and is like, hey, what the fuck? I'm on the stairs and I see you dancing. And Lady Gaga's like, whoa, you're that famous actress I really, really like. Holy shit. I'm so sorry I was dancing with your husband. And she's like, whatever. Our divorce isn't real. They give a reason why. I assume it's because these are real people. And they didn't want to get in trouble. But they're like, yeah, no, we're not getting divorced. That's fake. Don't worry about it. And Lady Gaga's like, oh, that's crazy. Why am I here then? If, like, you're not divorcing him, but you're also not super cool with me being here. And she's like, no, I am. She says, Natasha says, even gods get hungry, which you might be thinking, oh, they're vampires. They're going to eat her. Wrong. Horny thruple is what they're looking for. They're looking for a unicorn is what they're looking for.
They think very highly of themselves, yeah. I think, is the big takeaway here. They're like, even gods have hungers. And I'm like, you're like solid eights, you know?
Yeah.
Like, let's not go crazy here.
For 1925, they were like maybe a pretty generous nine, maybe. Yeah.
Also, like, yeah. But I could see, like, vampires, like real vampires being like, oh, we're better than people because they have, like, all powers and shit. But these people, yeah. It's like, we just don't age and we like blood. Like, that's nothing. You're like, you're not God. Get the hell out of here.
And
you're
they're just, also, like, you know, cannot overstate. Not vampires right now. They're just regular.
Oh, that's right. You're right. That's
right. So, like, this line, fucking nothing. Fucking nothing and also insane thing to say to another person. And Lady Gaga's like, oh, so you just want to, like, kiss me a bunch, both of you? And they're like, yep. And she's like, oh, that's cool. I do like that. And then they're like, they start dancing as a thruple and making out as a thruple. And I just want to say the rest of this is just like, what if a sexy thruple who was very much in love with each other had also some hints of vampire? And only American Horror Story could make that specific plot line the worst and boring and awful. It really takes a skill to make that specific set of phrases a boring concept. And then it flashes back to a different part of the flashback, now later in time, I assume. And Lady Gaga is at the Hotel Cortez talking to the actress friend from before. And she's like, we never see you anymore. And Lady Gaga's like, oh, I never kiss and tell, but there is someone. And Lady Gaga's friend is like, oh, well, you got to tell me about him. And she won't. And then they go into one of the rooms instead of, like, a big party room, just like a hotel room where James March is doing a toast to his hotel opening. And they are like, you know what? We need to make sure that everyone knows that James March knew Al Capone. Have him name drop Al Capone as being related to him in some way. And it's like, fucking, I guess, dude. Whatever. We get it. You know, like, people who were alive back then. Sick. Great. Thank you. Great world building. And he's like, oh, we got to do the toast in this little room because we're not allowed to serve alcohol downstairs because it's 1925.
it's prohibition. We're just getting every period piece thing we can think of and cramming it into this episode.
He name drops Al Capone in like the way that like a cringy person in real life would name drop someone. He's like, yeah, me and my friend Al Capone can't drink alcohol out in public.
Al Capone. And then Al Capone's like, things were so much better than the Great Depression, which was only like 8 years ago. You know?
Yeah. You guys remember that? And like he gives his toast and Lady Gaga's watching the toast and they're making eye contact. And then as the toast is happening, a dude just fucking bursts into the room with a newspaper in hand and goes, he's dead. Which if you were to do that about a fucking actor instead of anybody who's not the fucking president of the United States. Insane.
President, yeah.
Insane.
I was going to say president minimum. Yeah. Yeah. President minimum, I feel like, is pretty understood there. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, I don't like someone who's currently in the news of like being hunted by the police in a big manhunt or something.
Or like an archduke that's like so relevant that it's going to like instigate World War One.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
But no, he's talking about Valentino. Valentino has died. And I'm like, can you fucking imagine being at like a grand opening of like a restaurant or something and everyone's like they're about to cut the ribbon and everyone's doing a toast?
Liz, I'm a streamer. There are so many times where in a big group with a lot of people and some random chuckle fuck shows up and goes, oh my God, can you believe Clint Buttwood died? And I'm just like, I don't care, man. Yeah. Not relevant. Why are you bringing this up here? Hey, a celebrity died. Do you and your audience know yet? Like,
that happens.
No, and I didn't really want to right now, man.
Now that you mention it like in those terms, that happens so frequently. It's literally in the rules you have to agree to in order to chat in my chat of don't fucking come in here to tell me that a famous person has died. Please.
Hey, are you stop playing Dragon Ball and start mourning you?
Yeah. Hey, what do you think about Prince? Like, I don't know, man. I was just trying to make Super Mario jump over the holes good.
Yeah, well, he's fucking dead. That's what I think about him.
Lady Gaga's dad needs to get down the pipes to fix the sewers, and you're causing problems.
I hope no one's thinking of like subscribing at this time of our dirge, you know, because everyone's
weeping. We're all mourning in unison. This is a great moment of tragedy for all of us. But like, that was the 1925 version of that.
I'll never forget what Earthbound boss I was fighting when I heard the news. I'm sorry, anyway.
The news that text notes Tom Cruise has died. What a fucking insane thing. But I'm like, yeah, that is basically the 1925 version of bursting into someone's chat and being like, guess who died? Crazy. And then Lady Gaga.
Pauly Shore got exploded by a series of birds fired out of the cannon you used to test airplanes. Can you believe that?
No.
They were going to test a big airplane and they knocked it over and all the frozen turkey shot directly through Pauly Shore's chest instantly. Can you believe that?
If that was real and that did happen, I would want someone to come into my chat and tell me.
This is the exception. You can tell me if it's a comedian who sucks and he died in a way that's very funny.
I'm gonna launch off Outer Wilds and go into the sun in honor of Pauly Shore dying on the toilet. Beautiful.
Oh my God. Oh, but it's lucky this guy did that, I guess.
Oh God. So yeah, some clown rolls up into this party and goes, hey, this fucking actor's dead. And Lady Gaga's like, oh no, this is terrible news for me specifically, but I can't say that it's terrible news for me. Oh well, see. And just like rolls out into the hallway and is like, yeah, I think I'm just gonna kill myself. I think I'm gonna thinking about killing myself. Going out this window.
Yeah, they need to get better windows in the Hotel Cortez. This keeps happening.
No joke. It's like, she's like 5 seconds. Like, she's just like, no, my thruple died. Well, to the window with me.
Honestly,
I got nothing else going for me.
If my two super hot thruple mates just both randomly like exploded at the same time, I'd be like, well, better make it three.
Also, they don't say Natasha died. They only say Valentino died, which I gotta say, that is like classic Threpel shit, huh? It's like, oh yeah, all three of us are together, and then one of them dies, and the other two are just like, well, we're not gonna keep talking.
Obviously not. Yeah. She's like, to the window with me. And then James March is like, hey, don't. I know I love when people die and killing people. I think it's like sick. It's my favorite thing in the world. But don't. I don't want you to do that. And she's like, oh no. And he's like, you know what? Actually, now seems like the perfect time to start hitting on you. And that works.
I've decided I'm into you and we're going to get married, I guess, or whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, man, sure. Yeah.
Did I mention I know Al Capone, by the way?
Oh, that does change my mind.
On his radio cast, it says the best way to meet up with dames.
And he's right, and he should say it.
Yes.
Then it cuts to Valentino's grave, where three random women we don't know are all gossiping with each other, which seems like a strange thing to do, but the 20s were probably pretty boring. So, like, I guess maybe if you got a free afternoon, you can go gossip in front of a famous guy's grave who died 3 months ago. Who cares? And they're all gossiping, and they're like, oh, have you guys heard about the lady in black who's here, like, almost every day and leaves a red rose on his grave? They're talking about it like it's a fucking ghost. And they're like, oh, some people think it's a ghost. And then as they're talking, that same lady shows up all dressed in black, and they're all like, holy shit, we have got to get the fuck out of here. But it's just Lady Gaga dressed in black because that's what you do when you're mourning someone. That's just what it is. That's what most people do. And then she's there like, gonna be sad at my thruple husband's grave. It's here's your rose. And then Natasha's like, hey, what's up? Our husband isn't dead, chuckle fuck. He's like right here. And then Lady Gaga's like, holy shit. What the fuck? What do you mean you're not dead? What is this? What? Could you maybe have clued me in on this weird plan? And they're like, yeah, the dead guy who's in my grave is actually my stunt double. And I'm like, okay, all right, that's...
He could have just retired!
Yeah.
There's no reason he couldn't have just retired! This is insane! So they act like... They mention in passing that, like, the agents didn't like that he was in a relationship with Natasha or whatever. But never to the point of, like, I need to fake my own death. Like, he made it sound like they were like, oh, they keep trying to say I'm with someone else in the tabloids. It's so dumb. Which, like, is not fake your own death worthy. Even close.
No, not even a little.
Then they try and make it later so that it's, like, because he's hiding the vampire thing. But also, like, you could just retire and then fake your own death when you're, like, you know, 70 and mysteriously still look 30. You know, like, then
like
maybe.
Keanu Reeves. Like,
for now?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so apparently he decided to fake his own death. They killed his... stunt double, and apparently no one could tell the difference because famously stunt doubles always look exactly like the actors they're replacing, and you don't have to like film them in a weird angle or from behind or anything.
They're always saying that. Yeah,
and exactly. It's actually like it's written into most people don't know this, but in most stunt doubles contracts, it is a requirement from the movie company that every stunt double has no family. At all. Absolutely no familial ties that will follow up on their whereabouts just in case there is, you know, an issue on the set. This guy certainly...
Oh, the same... That's the same stipulation they have for hotel workers who are constructing on a hotel. Can you believe that?
Weird.
Crazy. LA is a crazy place, let me tell you. So yeah, they fucking just kill a random guy, which I'm like, hey... I know, spoiler for 20 seconds from now, he's a vampire. Just fucking get buried and then dig yourself back up. That's like what, this always happens in vampire shit of like, oh, I gotta fake my death and they just pretend to be dead and they get out of the coffin. That's like a famous scene in most vampire stuff, like old vampire
Or just
stuff.
like burn a pig and like put it in an ash urn and be like, that's me, I'm those.
It me. Me pointing at the urn, that me.
Did you hear Rudolph Valentino died by falling into a vat of acid and nothing was recovered in his body? So weird.
Oh my god, just like Two-Face from Batman. That's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh And
they left me in too long, and instead of turning into Two-Face, I turned into Nun-Face.
The one thing vampirism couldn't save me from. Yeah, and so she's like, well, what the fuck? Why didn't you guys tell me about this plan? This fucking sucks. You guys suck. And they're like, well, sorry. Also, congratulations on getting married again. And she's like, well, I got married because I needed money, and I was really sad that you weren't talking to me and you were dead. So, like, I just was like, well, if I'm going to be sad, I might as well be rich and sad. And honestly, she's fucking based for that.
I want to be surrounded by beautiful things, I think, is what she said. Things of this nature.
Yeah. I'm like, honestly, fucking based. If you're going to be sad, you might as well wipe your tears with $100 bills. Who fucking cares? And then we see a flashback inside of this flashback. That's number one, of her marrying James March, and them having really uncomfortable to look at sex, and like her slapping him around and her hating it. But then she like walks in on him killing a person or dismembering an already dead person that he's killed. And he's like, uh-oh, guess I'm busted. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. And she's like, it's okay, actually. I like this now, even though I'm just a mild-mannered actress from the Midwest. I love this, actually.
She, like, really... Yeah, there's a lot of just like, wow, you're into this too? What are the chances in this season? Like, there's a lot of people walking in and it happens to be the, you know, one in, you know, 10 million person you need who instead of, you know, seeing someone get dismembered and screaming and running out of the room, they go, nice. Which is, kind of unlikely.
He walked into a wife and a maid like that. Like, he's the luckiest fucking guy. Like,
he's just got that magnetic personality. He always is attracting the right people. And then after we get that and she's like, that's what I've been up to for the last 3 months, we get another flashback inside of a flashback. This is a second one, unrelated. This is the one that will have a flashback inside of it, of Valentino being like, okay, so here's why and how I fake my death. I went on press tour. And I thought I was being stalked by a vampire on the train. And it turns out that I was. And they straight up rip off several scenes from the Nosferatu movie in 1922. I mean, shot for shot, rip it off. Just fully shot for shot, rip it off. But it's okay. Because Rudy is going to find out that there is a vampire stalking him. And it is, and you'll never fucking guess who I'm about to say, F.W. Murnau, the guy who, the real man who existed in real life, who directed Nosferatu in 1922.
The fictional movie Nosferatu, to be clear.
The documentary Nosferatu.
This is all coming over, like, speaking of, like, ripping things off, too. This is all, like, Interview with the Vampire, where you have this period piece life of a vampire throughout the times happening in all these episodes, but terrible. And, like... Interview with the Vampire was so terrible, but the new AMC version does a meta thing where they call that out and redo it better. Like, for real, they're like, our first version of this was terrible. Like, no joke. And this, that's still, both of them are leagues ahead of this garbage of, so I was a disco queen, and yeah, I was a silent film actress anyway. Like,
anyway, none of that's important. And then... So that guy, F.W. Murnau, the real man who directed Nosferatu 1922, was like, hey, hot Italian man.
In a flashback, to be clear. So this is a flashback of Lady Gaga explaining her origin story. And it is a flashback in a discussion. Okay, so Lady Gaga is in the flashback discussing with the other members of the thruple. And the thruple is the other two members are having a flashback to when they ran into and met the director of Nosferatu, who is now going to have an additional flashback to something that happened to him earlier, which is unfucking believable. I just, like, the nested levels of flashback right now are outrageous. Why?
Hey, have either of you seen the movie Shadow of the Vampire starring John Malkovich, where he's the director of the original movie Nosferatu, and it turns out he's actually a vampire?
Oh, no.
Nosferatu? Yeah! So I just, because as we were talking, I'm like, they ripped that off too! Incredible! But anyway.
So fucking cool. So I know what you're probably thinking. Liz said earlier, there's no way we could possibly guess what was in the flashback of a flashback of a flashback, right? You can't still, I guarantee, because that flashback is F.W. Murnau, the real man, traveling to some random place in Europe and having a vampire orgy in the woods. It's just the vampire orgy featuring F.W. Murnau, the real man. That is a flashback inside of a flashback inside of a flashback for this episode. You may be wondering, okay, well, what does that have to do with anything? Yeah, okay, anyway.
He's where the disease comes from. Yeah. He found it out in the wilds, and then he gave it to the members of his thruple because they like that. He saw you from across the, you know, club, and he really liked your vibe, so he decided he'd give you an immortal blood curse.
Yeah.
Like...
So he got the shitty vampire curse.
Cool. Yeah, I'm into this. I want this. So that's why now we know the secondary people who are, it's Natasha and I keep wanting to say Tristan. Rudy. That's his old name.
Rudolph Valentino. Rudy. Rudolph, thank you.
Yeah. And so those two now we know are immortal vampires. And they say, hey, we want to make you an immortal vampire too. And she's like, okay, yeah. And this was supposed to be like a full circle of the I want to be immortal, that's why I want to be in movies thing. But it doesn't really play because, like, the desire to be immortal for being in film is different from the desire to be biologically immortal. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how? Name like, one wanna, way.
Yeah. What, yeah. One is like, I want to leave a great legacy work that inspires people for ages, something that's, you know, beyond just living a life and doing a lot of things. And then the other one is, I do not want to die ever. You know, and those are like completely detached pursuits. But both of them say I want to live forever, so they're the same thing to Lady Gaga, who, by the way, you want to talk about a flashback for your, like, kind of main antagonist that really devalues your main antagonist? They repeatedly refer to her as a pet and a little mouse over the course of this. They don't make Lady Gaga look cool or threatening or strong or, you know, any of that. They make her look like a huge wiener throughout this whole thing.
They really do.
It's really bad. It's unbelievable to have these new characters introduced, and the way you introduce them is by shitting all over the only interesting character in this piece of media. And honestly, it's less because of the writing and more because it's Lady Gaga and I could watch her do most things, you know? Like,
and I can't.
And this whole thing is so disrespectful to her. It's unbelievable.
I cannot emphasize enough. I would like to remind the listeners who are listening only and not watching along that this whole sequence, she has three fucking eyebrows. The whole sequence, she has three fucking eyebrows. As if all of this wasn't bad enough, she has three fucking eyebrows for the whole rest of the episode. And then, like, it culminates with, like, them being like, we're going to get on a train and we're all going to run away together as sexy vampires because we're all so madly in love with each other. And I jokingly was like, yeah, they were looking for a unicorn. That is so much the dynamic of, like, this is our third person in our thruple, a.k.a. Only one, in our minds, only one step above the golden retriever that we also have. A real person.
They call her a pet. Yeah. Like, repeatedly. Yeah, yeah.
Basically, the most stereotypical and negative stereotype related to polyamory, that most people who are polyamorous fucking hate. That's the only representation of that we're gonna get. But, James March, like, sees all of this happening at Rudy's grave. Why is he at Rudy's grave, you might be asking? Who fucking knows? But he's there, and he's like, oh no, my wife has another wife and husband. That's crazy. Also, isn't that guy supposed to be fucking dead? That never comes up again. He's not like, hey, isn't that guy supposed to be fucking dead?
How would he know? How would he know the most famous film actor of, in a time period where there are like three film actors?
Yeah,
yeah.
The one who someone
they've
broke
made, like,
into
nine
his party
movies.
For.
Yeah, they've made like nine movies, and this motherfucker's in like three of the good ones. Like, holy yeah. shit! Also, by the way, his wife Natasha is not dead and is not reported as being dead anywhere, and is also a starlet that is reported on and known because Lady Gaga knows her name before it is told to her. Like, this is the level of famous this is. So one of them is alive, one of them is supposed to be dead. So frankly, any situation they end up in is going to raise questions, right? Because if they both go missing, oh no, where'd Natasha go? If what if they both show up somewhere? Hey man, you were dead. Like, there's not really a win that you have anymore. Well, James Marks sees this and is very upset. And does he not have the? He doesn't do it yet.
No,
okay.
That's not
we just
the end.
He just sees that he is very sad. And yeah, wow, American Horror Story managing to take 1925 like. Actress, actor, thruple, sexy vampire thing, and making it just the least interest. One of which is Lady Gaga, and it still is so boring. It's unbelievable.
It's one of those things where even if they had only dedicated 5 minutes of this television show to it, I'd still be pissed off. But this is 30 minutes, and I hate to tell you, audience, we're not done with this episode yet. We're only halfway through this episode, and we're not done with this flashback yet. There's this part two to this fucking yeah. flashback that we're not through yet.
Yeah. And we're mostly cutting here because we're about to have a... hey, remember shit. How we were talking about why did John go to the hospital earlier? Bad news. The John part two is happening and it...
It's a lot. It is for this... Even for this show, it is so much more than you think it's going to be. There's not even a way that given... If you re-listen to every single one of our episodes right now for this season, you still would have... No fucking clue what's about to happen.
Incredible.
Also, not to spoil it, but the last scene of this episode made me laugh so hard that I started laughing, and then it cut to credits, and I was worried I'd like accidentally skipped ahead or something. So then I skipped because then it made me laugh harder that they would do that and then cut to credits, and then I went back to check, and no, they did. So I laughed even harder. It's unbelievable. It's going to be like the last sentence of the episode, and then there's going to be another 4 minutes of podcast, because it is outrageous what they decide to do. Holy
it
shit,
really is.
Man.
And it's so funny.
It's so funny. Well, till next time, everybody. We'll see you on the second half of Flickies or Flicker or whatever the fuck this is. Later.
Bye.
Bye. Man, this one's so...